to Proverbs 30, verses 10 through 33.
Proverbs 30, verses 10 through 33.
And I'll go ahead and read this, even though you have the New King James in front of you, I'll go ahead and read it from King James, 16:11. Proverbs chapter 30, starting in verse 10, and going through verse 33. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee, and thou be found guilty. There is a generation that curseth their father, and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things, say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat. For an odious woman when she is married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in kings' palaces. There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. A lion, which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any. A greyhound, a he-goat also, and a king, against whom there is no rising up. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. Very interesting passage, isn't it? But we're going to be looking particularly at verse 17. The eye that mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. And here in this passage, in this text, we see that the law forbids disrespect and disobedience by inferiors toward superiors. The law forbids disrespect and disobedience by those that are under authority towards those that are in authority. Now, the fifth commandment, as we know, is one of only two expressed positively. Honor thy father and thy mother. And we've already seen that it doesn't extend just to fathers and mothers, but we've already seen that it requires people in their various positions in life to do their respective duties. And today, then, we're going to deal with the sins of inferiors using verse 17, but also verse 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. So the first point today is we want to look at the neglect of their duties in general terms. So what are the duties? What should, we've already talked about this, what should those who are under authority do towards those who are above them? Well, respect, we talked about that, which could include reverence, certainly can include prayer, we're to pray for those who are above us, and also, we are to imitate their virtues and their graces. So we are to imitate them, even as Paul talks about, you have become imitators of me. So respect. Secondly, and let me just pause there just a moment. And of course, that's what we want, isn't it? In terms of our children. We want their respect, don't we? And that's what they owe us. So, not giving respect is neglecting that duty. Secondly, obedience and submission. So again, positively, we want our children to obey and to submit. And finally, compassion, which means, among other things, that we are loyal to those, whether it be our parents, whether it be the king, or whomever it may happen to be. Fidelity, loyalty, and defense. And not only that, but bearing with and covering of them in the same way, as you may remember. Do you remember when Noah? Remember Noah? And he got drunk. Remember that? And his nakedness was exposed by one of his sons. Remember that? And instead, of course, what should have happened? What happened with the other two sons, where they covered over the nakedness and bore with them. So that's the first thing then, or that is to say, neglect of their duties in terms of respect, obedience and submission, and compassion. But now, we want to deal specifically with what is prohibited. With what is prohibited. And we want to look at various relations. So we're going to look at child, parent, wife, husband, employee, employer, church member, church officer, governed ruler, and student teacher. Now, we don't have too many students here today, but we can still apply it, I'm sure. So first of all, in terms of child-parent, disrespect, showing disrespect towards those that are your parents. Obviously, we see that that is something that is prohibited. In Proverbs 20, verse 20, whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. My. You know, the Bible talks about darkness and talks about light. Darkness is not good. Right? Matter of fact, that's a sign of judgment. Eternal darkness. But we are to live in the light, are we not? But here, you see, again, who curses his father or his mother, his lamp, his light shall be put out in obscure darkness. And so, disrespect. Now, this can include wastefulness. This can include, like the prodigal son, the wasteful son. You've heard of the prodigal son? That's what prodigal means. It took me a long time to realize what prodigal meant. But prodigal means being wasteful. And so that too is a sign of disrespect. When those that are our children don't show that they are doing what is right with regard to their money or with regard to their lives. This disrespect can include stubbornness. It can include stubbornness, which is Proverbs 8, verses 32 and 33. Now, therefore, hearken, listen unto me, O ye children, for blessed, happy are they that keep my ways, hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. In other words, don't be like the stubborn mule, which if you would subdue, you must with bit and bridle hold to keep him close to you, as Psalm 32 says. No, don't be like that. Don't be stubborn. Be willing to listen to your parents. Also despising our parents, really hating them. Or not honoring them, which is exactly what we see here in Proverbs 30, verses 11 and 17. And also not giving heed to their instruction. Over and over and over again in Proverbs, do we not hear where the writer to the Proverbs says, listen to me, my son. Listen to me. Listen. And when you don't, you're showing disrespect. But also disobedience. You know, perhaps the most striking example of that is in Deuteronomy chapter 21. Remember Deuteronomy chapter 21? This is an amazing passage, actually. Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 and following. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father, the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. This is the, by the way, that passage is the basis for what we call habitual offender laws. That's the basis for it, interestingly. This is not a one-off kind of thing. It's where a person refuses to listen, refuses to pay attention, absolutely will not, absolutely disobeys, absolutely will not obey, absolutely, stubbornly says, I won't, as if stomping his feet. And so disrespect and disobedience, but also lack of compassion. And of course, Jesus dealt with that in Matthew 7, did he not? When he said, when your parents get old, what are you supposed to do? Just in the same way they took care of you when you were young, now that they're old, you need to take care of them. So child parent, disrespect, disobedience, not showing compassion. What about wife-husband relationship? Well, the lack of reverence, honor, and love at home. The lack of reverence, honor, and love at home. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, and as verse 16, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. Now, this was her husband, leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Well, that's not good, is it? Lack of reverence, honor, and love. What about infidelity? Going off with someone else. A lack of subjection, especially with a contentious spirit. Proverbs 19 and verse 13. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Drip, 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 drip. That's the picture there. And so that obviously, again, is a violation of the fifth commandment. And thinking evil thoughts, having evil speech, unkind behavior, speaking of a husband's faults to others, these are all examples of how a wife can violate the fifth commandment in terms of disrespect and disobedience. Thirdly, employee-employer relations, disobedience or unwilling obedience. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Of course, this, as we've talked about before, the specific application there was in terms of a servant, but we would apply it today largely in terms of an employer. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service or as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Yes, I'll do what you want me to, but I don't like it. Well, that's not a good attitude, is it? And so if you're going to show respect, you must have a different attitude. You must obey, but it must be a willing obedience. It must not be by means of disrespect or dishonoring them or carping at them. And certainly it must not be lying to, must not entail lying to or stealing from them. Right? It must not be lying to or stealing from them. Titus 2 and verse 10. In Titus 2 and verse 10, Paul writes, not purloining or stealing, like being, sticky fingers, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, all good faithfulness, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. What about church member to church officer? Well, we are not, church members are not to show hatred towards those that are above them. Especially, we're not to be like what John wrote about in 3 John, not to be those who are seeking to have the preeminence. 3 John and verse 10. 3 John and verse 10, where John writes, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his, that is Diotrephes, deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither does he himself receive the brethren, and forbids them that would, and casts them out of the church. Okay? And so this shows the kind of hatred that can be seen, the hatred and persecution of those that are leaders. Not being willing to listen to them. Not being willing to listen to them when they give good counsel. And neglecting them with regard to prayer, or let's say supplication in prayer. Supplication, submission, and support. Fifthly, what about the relationship of the governed to the ruler? Well, we could think about various examples, bad examples, rebellion and treason. Rebellion and treason. A lack of subjection and disobedience. A lack of subjection and disobedience. I heard a sermon just today, interestingly, from 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. So let me read this to us. 1 Peter 2, verses 13 and following. submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, of evil, but as the servants of God. And then verse 17, honor all men. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. And so the scriptures then call us to be subject and to obey. But when there is that lack of subjection, when there is disobedience, obviously we are not keeping the fifth commandment. Disrespect is another way of not keeping this commandment. Disrespect towards those that are our rulers, speaking ill of them, and defrauding them, and denial of their just dues, Romans 13. And finally, in this regard, the student-teacher relationship. So, if you have a student, what should the student be? How should the student be? Well, should be submissive, right? Should be willing to learn. Should not be proud. Should not be arrogant. Should not be rude. Should not disrespect his teacher. And certainly should not refrain from doing his schoolwork. Well, remember the reason that is added to the fifth commandment. First of all, it is blessing. It is blessing. It is long life. Remember what it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, we've already noted that there are exceptions to that. Sometimes the good do die young. And so this promise then is so long as it's for God's glory and our own good. But in general terms, in general rules, this is the blessing, long life. Now why? Why is that the case? So let me look at that from two different angles. First of all, in terms of the practical effects as to why that is the case. The practical effects. What about children? Disobedient children usually become juvenile delinquents. They lead lives of crime, of alcohol and drugs, and of aimlessness. That doesn't usually lead to long life. Unsubmissive wives don't create a happy life for themselves. Backbiting employees don't create a happy work environment. Opposers of church authority don't help themselves spiritually. Rebels against the government often are shot or imprisoned. And despisers of teachers are not going to learn very much. So there are practical effects, you see, as to why this principle may very well be true in terms of the blessing, but if you don't keep it, the curse. But more than that, secondly, besides the practical effects, we see that God honors those who honors him and his sovereign government. For example, children who recognize that God has placed them in that particular family. I think some of y'all know I just wrote my father's biography recently. And certainly he wasn't perfect, mom wasn't perfect, but I was very blessed to have the upbringing that I had and very grateful for that. And, you know, I know that many people have not as happy experiences. I get that too. I understand that too. And yet God is sovereign over that as well and is even using those difficult experiences to shape you, to mold you. And so children who recognize that God has placed them in that particular family, wives who submit to their husbands as to Christ, Christ takes notice. Employees who can rejoice in their job rather than carping all the time. Members who praise the Lord for their church officers. Citizens who recognize that the powers that be are God ordained. And students who can appreciate teachers to help them discover truth. So, let me give a Trinitarian application then in closing today. So, 3 points of application. Submit to the government of God as your father. Submit to the government of God as your father. Your father, you say. When we talk about fathers and mothers, that reflects, does it not, the fact that we have a heavenly father. And so submit to God's government as your father. Secondly, be united by faith alone to Jesus Christ. He paid for all of your sins with regard to the fifth commandment, all of your violations of the fifth commandment, all of my violations of the fifth commandment, of which there have been many. He paid for them all. And more than that, he fulfilled all righteousness with regard to this commandment. He kept it perfectly for you and for me. And then thirdly, as you deal with these things, whether as an inferior or a superior, or maybe counsel, maybe as a parent, counseling somebody, counseling a child or maybe a grandchild, right? As you do that, encourage them to seek the work of the Holy Spirit in their heart. Amen. Will you please stand for prayer? And so, Father, we do pray that this message would be applied to our hearts. We pray that we would seek to submit to our Father and to his government and the governments that he has established sovereignly. We pray, Father, that we would rejoice in the work of Jesus on our behalf. With regard to authority, and Lord, we pray that we be given the grace to seek the work of the Holy Spirit in enabling us to be obedient to those authorities that have been established. So, Father, again, we give thanks for all of the things that thou hast established in this world. We pray that increasingly we would be able to appreciate them and the good that they are for us. Hear this, our prayer. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, turn to 37F. This is another Psalm of the Month that we're doing. Amen.